you're having a great start to your Monday morning and your new week as we hit the middle of October here. So, look, hopefully this Eagles season turns into something pretty damn good. We'll see. Doesn't feel great right now. Obviously, even this way, they can make the playoffs. I mean, it's not like 3 years ago when they got to 9-8. They were really a good team. They weren't. They were an average team. Had an easy schedule. Got to the playoffs, 9-8. Got smoked in the first round. We'll see. But one of the cool things about this year is Brandon Graham playing year 15 and still playing pretty darn good. This is not one of those situations, to use a typically non-Eagle player, like Haloti Ngata when he got here and had nothing left. Like Ryan Kerrigan when he got here and had nothing left. I remember Richard Dent playing for the Eagles, got here and nothing left. Like, Brandon Graham's still contributing. And one of the bigger sequences were the two back-to-back plays he made yesterday where he stunted a drive of the other team. It was really impressive. So congrats to BG on 200. Congrats on all that it represents, including 2017, including overcoming a, you know, brutal start to his career. Obviously one of the great people that's ever come through Philadelphia sports and a big part of our show. Every Tuesday, Brandon's with us, including tomorrow. You'll be able to hear him from about 7:40 to 8:10. Let's also listen to what BG said after the game, because he knows he got to 200. It's awesome. He was happy about it post-game. He was very appreciative about it post-game and reflective. Here's Brandon Graham after the game.
I got to give it to the ones before me, you know, the ones that helped me during dark times. You know, I didn't think I would be here at 200, especially how I started. But like I told the guys, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And I think just, you know, getting served by some of the vets that I had and then being that service to others, you know, I don't get here without that. And then, of course, you know, prayer and, you know, making sure that you just, you know, being a good person in the building and just doing the best that you can do every day. And, I mean, you know, you just see what happens. But 200 games, I don't take that lightly, and I'm very thankful.
I'll say this, man. No player that I've ever seen in Philly sports has been more rootable for than Brandon Graham. And I'm not saying he's number one, like he's above the Maxies and the Dr. J's and the Brian Dawkins. I'm not – but nobody – there's nobody you could want to root more for. I mean, he's just he's the best dude.
The positivity, the outlook, he buoys everyone around and brings everyone up to his level. The thing that's strange, yesterday, man, his snap count is as low as I've seen it all year
long.
What
did it get to?
He was only 23 snaps.
Who were they mixing in more? Nolan Smith and Huff?
Well, Josh Sweat had 39. Bryce Huff had 31 snaps. It feels like, okay, Bryce Huff surpassed Brandon Graham.
Interesting.
In snappage this game.
Okay.
Now, maybe that's a good sign. Bryce Huff was able to do a better job against this, you know, lower level of competition. He was able to hold his own and you know, set that edge better.
Maybe.
Whatever.
Maybe
it was.
That's a post-buy adjustment.
Maybe.
You know, that was one of their things. They said, hey,
it's not sustainable with Brandon,
right,
at 35, 36 years old.
And it could just be a sink or swim. Like, they could just be saying, hey, sink or swim. We got to play Bryce off. I mean, we got him for maybe a couple years, so let's see what we got. All right, let's go to the phones. But major congrats to BG. It's really awesome.
Awesome.
Barry in Bethlehem right now. Barry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Barry.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I have a couple points I want to make, but this may be unpopular amongst your crew right now. I have to compliment you, Joe, on your acumen, your sports acumen, because you're on it. I think your ability to recognize incomplete players in all the sports is pretty much spot on, and I have to compliment you.
Well,
on
thank
that.
You, sir.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't say I bet a thousand. I'd say about 998.
Barry, what are you doing? Seriously.
No, I appreciate the words, and I appreciate listening to our show, Barry.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, John, I think you brought up a point earlier in the show today that you were asking whether or not Howie and
Lurie,
thank you, were giving him enough rope to hang himself. And I think, you know, maybe you might want to even put a little spin on that and say, you know, maybe they've already made the decision to move on from him during the season, because he is just horrible on the press conference. And as far as his kids look on their faces, they didn't even want to be there. You know,
well, Barry, they may have been, but you know what might have been an awkward, let's go a little deeper into it. Here's my guess.
Go ahead.
And I would put this at like 100%. Sirianni tells them before the press conference, all right, guys, I'm bringing you out there, but you can't talk. You can't giggle. You can't, like, you got to be quiet. I'm going to bring you out here. Dad's going to bring you out here, but you got to not disrupt things. But then he starts interviewing them. So they've got in their minds, Dad said, can't talk. Now Dad's asking them a question. I mean, right? I mean, wouldn't you say that's a likelihood?
A mixed message?
Yes!
Yeah. It could be. But I mean, if you looked at the faces, their faces, they were just like, I don't want to be here.
Well, you got to imagine, though. Barry, I'll say this. Imagine being 6 years old and you got who knows how many reporters, lights, because there's lights shining at you.
Right?
Those things are, that's live on TV with a camera firing a light. Like, that's an unusual setting for a 6 year old kid. So I wouldn't read too much into that.
But the other part that I wanted to hit on today was what most of the callers already talked about this morning, which was this offense is so anemic. I mean, it's just
that's brutal.
It's the same thing. And you just got to talking about something else I wanted to bring up. I listened to Seth Joyner last night, and he's saying, you know, you have to challenge these defenses. You're just going to let these guys tee off on you if you don't let your quarterback go under center.
Well, Barry, let me say this. Seth is going to be with us coming up next. So let me get to him because he's going to join us coming up next. Barry, great call. Call when you can more often. Thanks, bud.
All right,
Seth, in just a moment. Let's just play, I think, the most awkward of the exchanges that involve the kids. I mean, they've been sitting there the whole time. This is near the end of the press conference. And here's Sirianni almost starting to begin the process of, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's almost like he's interviewing his own kids.
I really say the crowd was critical there, you know, because they had a false start and then they had a false start again. So the crowd noise was critical right there of just the, it was loud. It was so loud there. Do you guys think it was loud?
No.
Did you think it was loud? Here, girl. Did you think it was loud? Did you think it was loud? Somebody answer. Just say yes. All right.
Look, let me say two facts that I really believe about Sirianni. Then I'm going to give you an opinion that's more not based on for sure. Number one, I think he's a really good person. Number two, I think he's a really good dad. But I also think he is really immature. I mean, really
immature.
They're not
mutually exclusive.
They're not. And he's putting the organization in a really bad spot because, you know, like he now gets Lurie and Howie in the crosshairs.
I
can guarantee you they don't want to be in the crosshairs. He's representing them.
Like
it's embarrassing for them. It's embarrassing.
As a parent.
It's embarrassing for every player.
I was so embarrassed to see him drag those. One of those kids is like, what, two or three?
I don't know, but they're young.
I mean,
they're
it's such a bad look.
And it's not like when AI had his, I remember he had Deuce on his lap when the Sixers had just won game one in the finals versus LA in 2001 and AI scored 48. Like,
that's a super celebratory moment.
Totally.
Yeah, very different.
Totally. Coach, you didn't just beat Shaq and Kobe in game one of the NBA finals.
And then on top of that, I mean, as far as it goes, like I do think there's a different standard for a player and a coach
100%
on top of that.
James,
I agree with that too. I agree with that 1,000,000%. So it's time for Lurie and Howie to get a grip on their organization, to be blunt. Seth Joyner.
That's the thing. Like, what are they supposed to do?
They're supposed to tell him one word. Enough.
I can't. This is so problematic at this point with the next four games. Again, these are a nice schedule. The way that the schedule sets up.
Oh, it gives him a shot.
Like, how in the world, if the organization wanted to jettison Nick Sirianni, it's almost like they've insulated him to the point where there's not going to be an opportunity.
They're not going to.
This season.
They're not
going
to fire him in the season.
To get in there and get him out.
No,
It's because they have done too good a job to their own demise. Like, it's now working against them how well they've insulated him against everything.
It's crazy.
He doesn't have that much that he's doing. There's not much that he can do wrong, right?
Well,
am I completely off base?
Well,
with that?
Yeah, because he's calling plays when he wants to. He's making bad decisions like kicking 57-yard field goals, and he's setting a culture. So he still has a huge hand in this.
Okay, well, let's hope they view it that way too.
All right. Well, look, Seth Joyner, who once famously, while he played for the Eagles, referred to his head coach as a puppet. That was Rich Coatside.
Who was that?
That was Rich Coatside. Richie the K. What Seth thinks of Nick Sirianni this morning, we'll find out next.